Hey everyone, you're listening to the self-care podcast, Controlled Chaos, by Catherine Grant. Here I share with you some of my life stories, experiences, thoughts, and ideas on how to care for yourself and your well-being. Through performance, style and design, organization, personal growth, health and fitness, travel, and home life. Today we're exploring the topic of organization. I'd say your home life depends on it. Introducing your guide to knowing what and how to declutter. The best way to find out what we really need is to get rid of what we don't want. Marie Kondo. As a child, I loved spring cleaning. Even though the process involves decluttering, organizing, and cleaning, I was always more interested in springing into action when it came to decluttering the house, accompanied by some light reorganization, and not so much when it came to the cleaning side of things. Traditionally, the practice of spring cleaning involves refreshing rooms after a long, stuffy winter. This is because back in the day, houses had fireplaces to keep their homes heated, and once the weather became warmer, all the grime and soot that accumulated over the wintertime had to be cleaned. Nowadays, most homes have central heating, so there isn't as much of an urgency to deep clean our houses at the start of spring, hence why most people do it when they see fit and focus on the decluttering and organising side of things, just as much or if not more. I used to spend all day sitting on the floor of our family bathroom and laundry, chucking out everything we didn't need to keep and reorganising everything we did. I'll never forget the time I went to my grandmother's house to declutter all her bedrooms and lounge rooms. She had been living in her home for 50-odd years, so I'm sure you can imagine the challenge I was presented with. That said, though, it may have been a dreaded task for some, but a fun task it was for me. Growing up, internationally recognised organising consultant and author, Marie Kondo, who came to be known throughout the world for her KonMari method in her 2019 Netflix series Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, wasn't in the public eye at the time. So I had absolutely no idea that there were methods I could use to declutter and organise, or that I could even turn what I was doing into a profession. Just like any child who takes up a hobby, and yes, I would go as far to say that it was like a hobby for me, I didn't really give it any serious thought as to what it meant to do it and why it was fulfilling for me. I just enjoyed doing it, and I thought it was necessary. Perhaps it stemmed from something we valued in our house growing up, which was not to waste food. Mum was always making a meal out of anything left over before it went off or expired, and Dad had a policy when we went out for dinner that we could order anything provided we ate it all. Looking back on this, I would say the reinforcement not to waste food taught me not to waste money and resources, which morphed into a mentality that I felt strongly about and tried hard to apply in my life, which is to consume less and waste nothing. And by that, I don't mean eating less food, but don't waste what you have to eat. I believe as a society, we consume too much, and as a result, we tend to have a lot of stuff that we don't use. We then end up wasting valuable resources, money, space, time trying to find everything, and essentially not appreciating what we do own. In this day and age, we always want more than what we have and get over quickly what we just bought. Now, I'm not a minimalist by any means. I need and value things, as it's important to be surrounded by things that you have inherited, created, or collected. That said, I just don't think we need too much of it. But listen up. It's absolutely fine to want something we don't have or keep something that we own already, whether it be new or old, but like humans, every object has to have a purpose or have a meaning. By questioning this, you will find the greatest thing about decluttering is that it makes you appreciate what you choose to keep. So it's important to ask yourself when you go to buy something or when you're sorting through the items you currently own, why do I have it? Why do I want it? Why do I need it? And what does it mean to me? Keep in mind, want and need are very different things. When it comes to objects, to want something is to have a desire to possess something, and to need something is to buy or own something for a reason and a purpose. The older I got, the more decluttering sparked my interest in the world of professional organizing, which is a term I would discover in Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, so much so that I worked as a professional organizer for a while. Yep, you heard right, a professional who organises and declutters mostly any space. But that's dependent on what you specialise in, because that's a thing too. You may have watched those TV shows where trained professionals go into hoarders' houses and declutter their very cluttered spaces. Well, those professional organisers are highly trained in hoarding, chronic disorganisation and ADHD. Some are trained psychologists. Then you have professionals who specialise in decluttering and organising your home office and your electronic data. Just imagine having that sorted. Then you have all-rounders who can whip your pantry, your whole house or a corporate office into shape. The thing is, not everyone has the time and money to hire a professional organiser, just like hiring a personal trainer. And if you intend on spring cleaning, it's important to know what and how to declutter, similar to knowing how to do a gym session on your own. Please note, though, that moving forward, it's important to understand that decluttering and organising are not the same thing. Decluttering involves going through your things and getting rid of any items that you don't want or use. The decluttering process needs to be completed before organising can begin. Organising is creating a user-friendly system to store items. Today, we're going to focus on decluttering only. In the professional organising world, I believe there are four rules, which I encourage you to take note of. The first is a saying attributed to the 19th century writer Mrs. Beaton, a journalist, editor and writer who wrote Mrs. Beaton's Book of Household Management. This rule is a place for everything and everything in its place. This has been the anthem for organised people for many years. In your home, everything should have a place. If you don't have a place for it or can't find one, ask yourself, is this item really something you need? Life is much simpler when you know exactly where to find something because your space isn't cluttered. Why waste your time finding a place for something if it's something we don't need to keep? The thing is, we don't always know what to keep and what to thank and say goodbye to. If you know Marie Kondo's methods well, you will know she encourages you to physically hold or touch an item whilst thanking it before you get rid of it. Whether you want to do that, take a picture, or nothing of the sort, is entirely up to you. Keep in mind, though, gratitude is an important part of the process. It's important to be grateful for the time that item served. That way, you can develop an appreciation for things so you don't take things for granted. And it helps in letting go of something. So the question is, why do we hold on to stuff? The first reason is that we can become overly sentimental about our things, mostly because, well, they're simply ours. This is because any sentimental attachment to an item is mostly led by emotions rather than by reason. Now, don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with keeping something that is sentimental to you. I don't believe when minimising what you have, you should seek to reduce everything to its functional purpose. Some objects, despite their lack of practical use, may mean a lot to you, like a picture or an old motorbike displayed in a museum, because some things are just meant to be looked at and cherished. I think it's important to have things that hold sentimental value to you, so that you can emotionally cherish and appreciate an item. However, that doesn't mean everything is or should be. Sometimes it's important to inject reason and think with your head rather than your heart. Sure, your wedding album may be sentimental to you, but not every gift you got at your birthday, graduation or wedding is just because you were gifted them for a life event. I understand this may sound a little far-fetched, but you would be surprised what people hold on to. The reason we become sentimentally attached to our things is because our things are often associated with memories, whether that be a place, an era, or a person. Perhaps someone blood-related or special gave you this object, or perhaps you bought it for yourself. And well, that's your time and money that you invested that you don't want to waste, right? These reasons all make sense when you think about what the definition of the word sentimental means. Exaggerated and self-indulgent feelings of tenderness, sadness, or nostalgia. I'm also aware that sometimes we have stuff in our house that people, whether it be a family member or a friend, will just leave and dump, or forget to pick up, I should say, and you don't want to get rid of it because, well, it's your dear friend Anne's, who you've probably not spoken to in about 10 years and who most likely does not care for that thing anymore. And yes, it just becomes that thing. The second reason is that we think the thing is more practical than it actually is. But the truth is, if the item no longer has a practical purpose, It's because it's just there for the sake of being there unused or broken in some way. We think we'll get around to using it or fixing it, but there are a lot of items that we never do. So, how do you work out what to declutter?
An item needs to serve a purpose in your life, and a way of assessing its purpose is through evaluating the sentimental value and the practical purpose of an item.
Firstly, let's assess its sentimental value. A great way of doing this is to take into consideration the second professional organizing rule, which is love it or lose it. We don't often question why we hold on to things, and how are we supposed to know whether we love it or should lose it if we are being only led by emotion? Written by American writer and novelist Frederick Buchner, here is something to think upon. To sentimentalize something is to look only at the emotion in it and at the emotion it stirs in us, rather than at the reality of it, which we are always tempted not to look at because reality, truth, silence are all what we are not much good at and avoid when we can. So let's think with reason. A great way of assessing an item's sentimental value is to assess the item's aesthetic, which is the look of it, and your overall feelings towards it. Let's take a photo frame for example. Unless you love the look of gimmicky photo frames that say, "Happy birthday," with big tacky butterflies and love hearts plastered around the photo frame that you got gifted in your late teenage years, let's face it, most young girls had something of this sort, lose it. I mean, with photo frames nowadays, the majority of people end up framing their images in the same particular style of frame throughout the whole house. It seems the days of mismatched frames are over, with most people favouring continuity in their homes. Mind you, a trend may very well change, so do whatever floats your boat, each to their own. It's also important to be emotionally aware of the way you feel about an item. But how do you decipher your feelings towards an item? A quick and simple way of working this out is to use Marie Kondo's motto, which involves asking yourself, does this item spark joy? Now, I must add here, don't confuse joy with a nice feeling, the kind of nice feeling you get because your great aunt bought it for you, which I'm not saying is a bad feeling to have, but don't keep it if you feel you kind of like it, or worse, you feel obligated to keep it. I don't think there's much joy being sparked for those reasons, and generally because of this, these items end up in the back of the cupboard because they never end up getting worn, used, or displayed. Am I right? We all know those items I'm talking about. We often also keep items because our things can be associated with memories, which is lovely, but memories are in your mind, and the object simply just triggers them. Keep in mind, you don't throw your life away or reject a person when you get rid of an item. Any healthy mind is strong enough to remember any fond memories or the affection you feel for the person who gave you the gift.
Your relationship is not defined by a gift.
Sentimental items can also keep us held in the past. It's absolutely fine to have items that do reflect the past. As I touched on earlier, it's important to be surrounded by things that we have inherited, created, or collected. But choose those pieces wisely to ensure that they bring joy for you in the present times, so that you're happily moving forward in your life. Perhaps that vintage dress that you have from the past you feel good wearing now, so ultimately you love it. Also something to consider is that a bad purchase should not become sentimental just because we spent our time and money on it. I understand that sometimes we do buy irrationally or because we think we need it. We're only human, but don't keep yourself hostage by keeping the item just because of that mistake. That item may now be associated with negative feelings. Do you really want that in your space? So, when considering the sentimental value of an item, to work out if it has purpose in your household,
ask yourself, does it spark joy? And depending on your answer, you've got to love it or lose it. If you're having trouble deciding whether an item does spark joy for you, having taken into consideration all the knowledge I've shared, here are some simple reasons that will help you to understand why you should keep an item based on its sentimental value.
1. You genuinely love the style, or it suits the space nicely, so aesthetically, you love it. 2. This item reminds you of the person who gave it to you, who you actually genuinely like, or otherwise, it reminds you fondly of an experience, a place, or an era that you want to be reminded by. Therefore, it evokes positive feelings. 3. You can afford to become sentimental about it,
because the purchase you just made was for a solid reason. Great, no regrets. Now let's move on to the reasons, yet again looking at sentimental value, as to why you should not keep it and lose it. 1. I kind of like it. The love hearts are cute. Love hearts are cute anyway. Aesthetically, do you really like it? 2. I got it for my birthday. I know your birthday is a special day, but does it necessarily make that item special, practical, or purposeful in your life? 3. My great auntie gave it to me, and well, she's family, so I have to keep it. No, not if this person sparks negative emotions. If you believe in the power of energy, you won't bring that negativity into your home. If you want to understand this more, look into the Chinese culture and their household values and rituals. 4. The thing just sits there. Gosh, the amount of money I spent on it when I could have saved or spent it on something else. Negative feelings. I guarantee you there is no sentimental attachment there. Okay, now that we've assessed an item based on its sentimental value, let's assess the practical purpose of an item. There are going to be some things that just don't spark joy, but it doesn't mean you need to throw it out. A large cooking utensil might not spark a lot of joy for you, like that photo frame with your wedding photo does, but even if you don't like to cook, guilty, you need to eat, and subsequently you need something to cook with, so therefore the item has practical value and has a purpose in your household. So, it's important to consider the item's practical value, even if it holds no sentimental value to you. That said, though, give thought to what practical items it is that you want to keep. Many items in the household are practical, but it doesn't mean it's going to be used. If you have an item of clothing, one of those items you kind of like, that sits in the back of your wardrobe that you never wear, what practical purpose does it serve? You're not wearing it. It's just sitting there for a rainy day that never comes, all the while taking up space in your cupboard. Perhaps you don't even know it's there because it's stuffed behind everything else. Another thing to consider is if an object works properly. It's likely that the item won't be entirely practical if it's broken in some way. Something also to note is that you do not need 2 to 3 of the same item unless it's going to be practically used. Which brings me to professional organizing rule number 3. Say goodbye to multiples. If you don't practically use more than one item of the same thing within the year, you don't need it. I mean, do you really need 5 of the same large cooking utensils? Unless you are a cook, but even still, utensils are made to be durable and last. In this case, I'd suggest perhaps investing your money into an item that is of quality. Photo frames and clothing, for example, we generally have multiples of. But if they are not being worn, really consider what you want to keep. If any item is not being used, worn, or put out on display, it has no purpose in the household. So when considering the practical value, ask yourself, can I and will I really use this item because I don't want more of what I don't use? Note the word really. Be real with yourself. Here are some reasons on why to keep an item based on its practical purpose. The word practical is concerned with the actual doing or use of something rather than with the theory and ideas. 1. It fits well and it works well. This is important, otherwise things won't sit right or look right, or work for that matter. 2. I have space for the item, where it can be clearly seen and accessed. Otherwise, you'll never see it or won't be able to get to it, and what's the point in that? 3. You plan to wear it or use it in the year. Remember what I said earlier about there being 4 seasons and 365 days in the year. Plenty of time. Now let's discuss the reasons about why you should not keep it. 1. It doesn't fit or it's not working. Practically, then you can't use it. Enough said. 2. I can't see it or get to it, but it's there. And the practical purpose of that is? I suggest you consider its sentimental value to assess its purpose then, because otherwise it's not worth keeping. 3. I may use it, but in like 5 years or more. If you don't use it, why is that? I suggest having a good think about if you will actually use it in the future and why. This all said, there are exceptions. When it comes to clothing, some people have body goals. Perhaps you want to lose weight to fit into that dress, or you have an occasion, end, or a season in mind in which you will wear it. That's absolutely fine to keep those items. provided you are committed to those reasons. But listen up. Your weight may very well change and you might find an occasion to wear it too, but be real and hard with yourself. Will your weight change anytime soon? And if you haven't worn the outfit in a while, are you honestly likely to wear it in the near future? Unless you want to keep that one special dress or pair of pants to work towards that body goal, then that's fair. But perhaps just keep the one or two outfits, not the dress that you wore in your early 20s that you're secretly hoping to fit into. If you don't wear an item in the next year, then I would suggest saying goodbye to it, as there are four seasons and 365 days in a year, more than enough time to put it to good use. Or otherwise, if an item's not being used or displayed, I'd suggest it's for two reasons. You're keeping it until you move into your new house where you'll use it, or you're keeping it to give it to someone special. However, keep in mind the changing times. Really consider if this item is genuinely going to be of value to this person, in either personal sentiment and or financial value. By considering this, it truly makes you question whether you really need it. Okay, now that that's sorted, what do you do with an item you no longer want? We shouldn't waste what we have if we no longer love something or it's broken. Emotionally, someone else may really appreciate and cherish it. Practically, someone else may get use out of it. And environmentally, by recycling it, we can recreate something else. In terms of knowing how to recycle an item, it depends on what type of item it is. If you have something that is in great condition still, you can do three things with it. Give it away, sell it, or recycle it. Firstly, let's look at giving it away. There are many charity organisations you can give your items away to. In Australia, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, otherwise known as St. Vinny's, or Savers, which is a recycle superstore, is great to donate your items to. I always take my clothing and accessories to St. Vinny's. Sometimes they have charity bins in an area, even if they don't have a shop. St. Vinny's mostly take clothing, but some of the larger stores may take household items also. You should be able to find your local store or drop-off bin by Googling it or asking someone. It's important to note, you can't chuck out your clothes in your household bin, so I'd suggest you give them to charity. There's also a great charity organisation for women called Uplift Bras. You can go to their website to donate. Rose Whale said in the 2012 report of bra distribution in the Solomon Islands, "For the women to be given free bras is an unbelievable experience for all of them. Women feel a tremendous obligation to meet the needs of their families, and so for any woman in the village to spend money buying a bra for herself can almost be seen as an unforgivable sin." You can also give away your item to someone. As spoken about earlier, you can keep an item to give to someone down the track, but if this item is something that can be given now, do so. Make a phone call or drop into their house and gift them with it. Secondly, let's look at selling it. There are many places to sell things nowadays. You can sell it on eBay, which is very well known, Gumtree, or Facebook Marketplace, which is a great feature that you can also use. But be sure to check the guidelines and the safety of each of these options. As well as this, you can sell it to friends. And lastly, let's look at recycling it. If something is broken, it needs to be appropriately recycled. You can throw it out in your household bin, or some things may need to be taken to your local tip. Please note, most tips in Australia cost to enter, but it's worth your time knowing that everything in there will be properly recycled. Hopefully this has got you thinking. The thing is, we don't need a lot of things in our life to survive. We think we do, but we don't. I believe decluttering is one of the greatest forms of self-care. Decluttering and reorganising your space brings you exactly that. Space. Along with freedom, time, money, and clarity. All these valuable aspects contribute to your happiness and well-being. By helping yourself with this, you're showing yourself a lot of care. So now, taking into consideration these thoughts and ideas, let's get you decluttering. Here are the decluttering steps I suggest you follow to conduct the process. Firstly, I suggest you have a bin ready when you start, or just a big black plastic bag that you can get from your local supermarket or dollar store, because you will no doubt come across some rubbish or broken items that you want to chuck out. Also, make sure you have space to place everything on when you pull everything out. A table will do, or the floor, provided it's not in harm's way. You will also need to have a yes, no, and if you wish, a maybe pile. Which brings me to the fourth professional organising tip. A maybe has to be a yes or no. I realise, being only human, we're not always going to know the answer straight up. So if you need time to think upon it, you can put it into the maybe pile. But this is a temporary pile, usually full of items you kind of like, and the item needs to eventually go into the yes or no pile. Keep in mind that the items that you want to archive to be used later, as I touched base on earlier, go into your yes pile. You can set these piles up on the table or on the floor, and I suggest you use boxes to place everything in to keep everything neat and safe from any damage. You can also buy them from your local dollar savings retail store, Target, Kmart, Walmart, depending on where you live, or your local hardware store. So when considering the purpose of keeping an item, consider its sentimental value and practical purpose by asking yourself, does it spark joy? And can I and will I really use this item? As well as the question, can I give it away to someone or charity, sell it, or does it have to be thrown out? Hopefully, I've assisted you in knowing what and how to declutter. I would also like to encourage you to buy less and really use what you have. In other words, consume less and waste nothing. In terms of knowing how to organise your things, there are many professional organisers who are skilled in decluttering and organising. I suggest you jump on the internet to find your local professional organising business. In the meantime, all the best decluttering!